Benlini, a Song of Ice and Fire podcast. I am Sir Matt the Butt Knight.
And I am Sir Ezra the Watchful. Friends, we are back with our House of the Dragon trailer discussion, and we brought the experts. We have a freaking panel here, Matt. All right.
Hey, that is true. I think, is this the most amount of, normally we only ever have three people when we bring somebody on, but we have four today. So we're doing it big.
Yeah, it's a council. So, hey, we have Jimmy, Sir Jimmy from Fantasy Network back. Sir James, how you doing, buddy?
I'm good. I'm happy to be here. I got my fresh coffee, fresh eyes for probably my 300th view of the trailer.
Let's go.
Westeros is back. The dragon has four heads today, and we got the all-star talent here today to break this down and to react to it. So I'm really excited to be here, and I appreciate you guys bringing me on.
Yeah, awesome, man. And also we have Nikki with us today, Kale EC back in the house. How you doing, Nikki?
I'm good. Thank you for having me again. How are you guys?
Woo! Pumped.
Ooh. I'm so
pumped.
I am still so jacked. You know, it's like. What was it? When did the trailer drop? Thursday, because it was the same day as Doctor Strange. Because I remember waking up being like, oh, okay, you know, I'm going to go see Doctor Strange tonight. Okay, it's going to be cool. Here we go. Like, getting excited for it. And then I get up, you know, West Coast time, and it's like 5:30, and I, like, stare down at my phone, and House of the Dragon has tweeted and said, you know, like, fire is coming. And I was like, what? Like, and everyone's like, oh, my God, are we getting a trailer? I was like, am I going to have to be sick today, you know, from work? Like, am I gonna have to be sick?
Feeling a cough coming
and so
on.
Then I'm waiting because I normally leave at about 6 a.m and a picture drops, and so I like send it to our group chat, which is Ez and Jimmy and our buddies Matthew Perry and Ryan, and we I was like, okay, it looks like it's just going to be pictures. And so we're like, nonetheless, sick, like, we're down here we go. And so then like an hour goes by and they just like pushed up more and more pictures, and then the trailer drops, and like Jimmy and I were like messaging all day. We're just like, it's just like all caps, like jacked, OMFG, like so pumped.
Get these pretenders out of here.
Like, let's go. And then Nikki, I messaged you, I think, right? And you were like at work, right? Was that how did your day of the House of the Dragon trailer go?
So I've been in the office that morning, and I came home to work from home for the afternoon. So I was literally just sat in my lounge. I got the tweet notification for the trailer, and then suddenly everyone is messaging me going, oh my God, have you seen this? Shut up, I'm trying to watch it. And yeah, that was it. And then I'm sending it out to everyone. My boyfriend was at work, bless him. And I'm like, I need you to reply so we can talk about this right now. But yeah, oh my God. I don't know how many times I've watched it now. But it was brilliant.
Yeah. So good. I don't know. Did we talk about what your day was like?
I remember I came home, and so I actually had not seen it until we watched it for our little podcast. We went live, and I was actually at school. And what's really funny is when the students see me get up and start to pace, you know, so I just start, I they're doing work and I'm just pacing, and everyone kind of looks up and they're like, are you okay? And I'm like, yeah, I just need a second. Like, I'm deciding whether or not I should, like, I, like, full-on stop. I mean, I think the kids had just walked in, and so they were doing, an activity, you know, get going. Yeah, do your thing for 5-10 minutes, right? You know, eat up some time, right? and then I'm sitting there pacing. I'm like, I don't know what to do. Should I do a reaction? I was so pissed that I was at school because was it Kenobi the day before or that the day of or something? I was so pissed because, like, back-to-back days, I'm like, the 1 week where I needed to, like, not be staying late for work and doing AP testing and stuff, I have all my favorite stuff drops, and I was just whatever. So I just paced, thought about it, saw the chat, then popped out because everyone had seen it and was talking about it. So I said, no, let's just try to wait until I get back with Matt, and then I'll watch it and kind of go from there. So because I wanted to really just, you know, enjoy
because as planned like this week, he's like, all right, like, you know, it's gonna be a quiet week, whatever. Like, I'll do this extra work at school, like stay late and
stay till 6 o'clock at night, you know.
And then the one week you schedule out thinking it's going to be nothing, and it's like
everything drops, like it's just so ridiculous. So yeah, it was wild. But dude, I'm so pumped though. I mean, I remember we sat down and watched it, and like, again, it's tough when you watch it right away because like you and Jimmy had a chance to talk all day long, right? And the Nikki's, you know, chatting to people or whatever. I'm doing that episode and I felt kind of bad. Matt and I were live. I'm just sort of like, I can't breathe. You know, I was just like, this is like, what am I supposed to do? What am I supposed to say right now? Like live, you know? So we watch it. I'm just sort of like, all right, take it away, Matt, you know, like go for it. Cause I need to like think. And I just, if you watch that, I'm just clicking back through, like trying to, you know.
Oh, that's right. Cause that was everything. Your first. Yeah. Cause that was your first watch.
Yeah. It was my first watch. Right. I was like, oh my God.
Yeah. As did a live reaction. And then we skip through. Yeah. Well, so for the, you've watched it 100 times now, I'm assuming.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Watch. Yeah. Showed it to Lottie. Been watching myself. Watch it all. Yeah. It's sick, and there's a lot more in it too. There's just really cool stuff like Easter eggs and things, and I'm excited to kind of break it down
today. Yeah, sick, awesome. Okay, well, so we've all watched the trailer, so I guess we're just sort of like initial thoughts of like just what you thought about it and like what you kind of saw in it. And Ez and I just we did a big reaction to it the other day. But Nick, we're gonna start with you first, just like after you saw it. Like, you know, just like sort of initial thoughts on it and what you think the show's going to, you know, look like and everything.
I wonder how far through that storyline we'll get and whether it's just going to, you know, if it's going to branch out into a second season, because there is so much to cover. I'm trying to think now because I was just so excited. There was so much happening. I think one of the things that really stuck out for me was there was a little look between Daemon and Rhaenyra just for a brief second. And it was like, right, okay, so we're going that far down with the, you know, the plot in between them two. But yeah, I find their relationship really, really interesting because it spans quite a long time and across quite a few different marriages. So yeah, that particularly was what got me like, oh,
yeah.
Which is gross, I know, but yeah.
Oh no, it's
I know it is. Hot. You know, it is.
I don't
it
know, is, guys. It's hot.
It
all
is,
right,
it is a thing. You know, it's funny. It's hot. You know, it's funny. Right? My mom is a hardcore like show binger. I mean, she just like watches. When she's like, I mean, she watches like everything. That's like, all she does. And so she's like, all right, I'll finally start Game of Thrones. She started like last Saturday and is pretty much almost done. At this point, like she was watching like straight through like this all week. And anyway, so she messaged me. She's in season 7 right now, but she did 6:10, which is the episode where Jon Snow is proclaimed king of the North. It's like my favorite episode. And she was like, "Wait, so does that mean like Jon?" She's like, "Are Jon and Daenerys like gonna get together?" She's like, "Is that his sister? Is that his cousin?" I was like, "No, that's his aunt." She's like, "Oh, okay, you know,
which
like,
doesn't count."
It's just, right, it doesn't count, it's, you know. But it is so funny. It's like we're shipping, you know. Okay, well, yeah, let's just have at it.
Have at it, yeah. Like let's just go. I mean, that's we've shifted in our society. Like George has taken in a direction I did not think people are rooting for these things. I mean, honestly,
I mean,
really,
there are trends on some sites that I
yeah. But I mean, my thing too, with that look that Nikki's talking about, you know, it's like I just what it is for me is. I like those actors so much and I know what's going to go down. And it's more about, it's less about that intimate relationship and more about their power grab and more about like what they want to do for their family and stuff. And so you're like, all right, let's go. House Targaryen. We're not letting anybody step in here. The Hightowers are trying to come in and do their thing. And he's like, I don't think so. Not in this house. And that's the kind of look that I that's what I felt from him. So I was like, all right, like, here we go. So
good. Yeah. So good. Jamie, what's your thoughts, man, on the trailer?
Listen, I got done and I had a rule. I said, I'm only going to watch it once. That like, I really believe this. I said, I'm going to watch it once and I'm going to let the show speak for itself. Because listen, since Game of Thrones, you know, it's like a king died when Game of Thrones went off air, you know, and it was a big tragedy. A lot of people were upset with how season 8 went. And there was this big void in the zeitgeist.
Mm.
And then a lot of pretenders came for the throne. There is a lot of hype around a lot of different television shows, and I don't mean to disparage anything else, but, you know, we have Wheel of Time calling out, that's my place, I'm going to take the throne. We have the new Lord of the Rings show coming out, the new Tolkien show coming out, I'm going to take the throne. We have whatever the one show was on. There's a lot of pretenders.
Shadow and Bone.
Shadow and Bone, right? And they're all yelling, and then from the back, the doors of the Mead Hall open, and in walks the Forgotten Son. Let's go. That's what I was thinking. Let's go, people.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. I was hyped. You watch that trailer and you go back and you look at everything that we've been given since season 8. And there's been some good shots. I think those shows that I mentioned are actually probably either are fine or going to be fine. Witcher 2 is a lot of fun. But you watch this trailer and it's different. There's just a totally different vibe here. HBO, when you come for the king, you best not miss. And HBO never misses when it comes to production value, sound blending, cinematography, acting, all of these things. The only outlier we have now is how is the writing going to be? I left that trailer having no reservations about being excited. I did watch it multiple times and broke my own rule. And there was nothing that I felt concerned about, which all the other trailers for all the shows I was excited about. I always left the trailer with a little bit of like, well, we'll see how that goes, right? I have no doubts that I'm okay being excited. I think the writing's going to be good. I actually feel kind of the same as Nikki, where it's like, how much time are we covering here? Is this going to be like an episodic thing where they do like a Targaryen story every season? Or like, are they going to jump a long amount of times in the timeline? Or are they going to condense everything to fit in maybe a couple years? Because I think The Dying of the Dragons or The Dance of Dragons could be 2, 3, 4 seasons, like pretty easily. I would say at least 2, but I also am okay with less is more. I'm okay with getting the most out of it because we, especially HBO, they do miniseries better than anybody in the game. Like there's nobody that does miniseries like HBO. So I'm very, very excited. I am open to interpretation. And I think people need to be a little bit lenient with the adaptation piece of this because we do have a completed story, but it is a historical narrative through the frame of the unreliable narrator between Maester and Mushroom, which is also a really cool thing for us fans that have read Fire and Blood is that we're going to find out who was telling the truth. You know, which accounts were real. And there's a lot of mystery around Rhaenyra and some of the decisions that she makes. So I'm really, really excited. First and foremost, as a Song of Ice and Fire fan, but as a fan of great television, I think you can watch that trailer and say we're in for a treat.
Yeah, 100%, man. Yeah, I love your analogy of them walking in the back and just like everyone's up front saying we're vying for king and now the dragons. Like I don't think take a seat, you know, like One quick thing before we move on here, like HBO, I like what you're saying, Jimmy, because like their mentality is just different. I don't know. It's just like they come in, they're not getting in the ring just to knock you out. Like they don't want you to ever rise again. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Like whoa, hold on a second. Like it's got a way heavier sort of tone and just feel. And even Matt and I were talking about like the look of this. It just feels epic. It feels incredible. Like a grand movie, like a grand experience. And
Matt Smith looks amazing. Matt Smith stole the trailer, without a doubt. I mean,
Matt Smith is about to become, because he's huge. He's not like big in the United States because Doctor Who like isn't as sort of big over here as it is, I'm sure, in England. Nikki, I'm sure you can attest more to that. But yeah, I mean, like the Crown, like a lot of people don't really know him over here, but he's about to become an absolute mega star. And then Jimmy, as you said, I mean, we were talking about this because Ez and I like to talk about, you know, the streaming wars, as we call it. You know, like Amazon to me has yet to have a show that, you know, like all of even their some of their best shows don't feel like they can stack against the Disney or HBO shows. But people kind of like forget, like HBO has had 2 shows in the past 20 years that have been considered the best shows in the history of television.
I mean, could even argue there's even more because a lot of people think Six Feet Under and Wire are also on that list.
Right. But I mean, it's like The Sopranos and Game of Thrones. I mean, you like pretty much almost back to back had like 2 of the best shows, you know, in the history of
Westworld season 1. I mean, that was amazing.
When Westworld is kind of like, you know, like, it's still a good show, but it's like for HBO standards, that's like a miss, I would say.
Yeah, the later seasons did have a little bit worse of a reception, but
it's like every other network would kill to have that. Like would kill to have that. Yeah. So this is, I mean, they're going all out, and everything that looks like it's happened since the merger with Discovery Channel and everything like that. I mean, they've already started cleaning house at DC, but like the one thing, like of the executives and everything that's like not like the HBO executives aren't even like getting touched. They're just like, you guys just, so I mean, that should tell you when it's like, hey, we've just bought this entire business and we are cleaning house like the Harry Potter side and the DC side of the fandom. I mean, CNN Plus, they're just like dead, get rid of it. I mean, it's like, but like HBO, they're like, So that should tell you.
Does it make you a little apprehensive that if this show does medium, like let's say it's really good, but like it doesn't capture the ratings, does that make you nervous that they would then cut things like the Dunkin' Egg show that we've been talking about? And you don't think so? You think they would leave it alone?
Cool. Nope. I think they're gonna. I mean, here's the thing. The only problem that this show has is that it is being stacked against arguably the greatest show in the history of television. I mean, in terms of ratings, in terms of awards, it's not even close. Remember, we looked at it one time and it was like Game of Thrones has like 230 Academy Awards, and like the second is The Simpsons, which has been on the air for like 30 plus years. So I mean, in eight seasons, right? I mean, it hit way more awards, and the ratings only ever went up with like, you know, a dip like here on some of the episodes that happened in Dorne.
Did you see the impressions that the trailer did? Views wise, it's
insane. I saw it had 500,000, and that was in like the first like 2 hours.
It's over almost 30 million now, at least I believe. And it beat out Kenobi. It beat out what was the other big Stranger Things. Stranger Things has a little bit more, like just a couple million more, but they've been out for like I think a month or two or three. The trending topic was it was a trending topic on YouTube, number one and number two for 3 days. Trended on Twitter worldwide, number one. Mm-hmm. So, like, there's been a lot of discourse online saying, oh, like, this fandom's dead, which I know us four have probably been saying, no, it's not. We're still here, mofos. But I mean, I think it actually proves that there's still a lot of want for the content that's coming out of Westeros and HBO, clearly. Yeah. So, that's good.
And, you know, and people have said, like, because there's already so many immediate comments where it's like, you can't fix season 8 or whatever. But I will say this, and I can toss this to Ez, because and Nikki, who is also a Star Wars fan, so like look at Star Wars. Is the sequel trilogy? Everyone sits there, ourselves included. Where we're like, I don't know, but I don't want to say it for Nikki what she thinks about the sequels. But I know Ez and I, we don't like them, and to be honest,
you got problems with them. Yeah,
you got problems with them. But to say Star Wars is dead. And then it's like, then they immediately turn around and bring in the Mandalorian, and it's like, okay, you've created something new,
right?
You know, and you can totally so.
Yeah,
you can the show is its own thing. The only problem I think is you know, are people going to look at? I don't think it's going to be hard for any show to be as successful as Game of Thrones.
Yeah, it won't be that level,
right? Because. Whatever, but that's not to say it won't still be a mega hit. So,
yeah, I mean, it's like Better Call Saul. I mean, Better Call Saul's cleaning up at awards. It's getting great reviews everywhere. I mean, arguably, Better Call Saul has performed just as well as Breaking Bad, but it didn't capture the zeitgeist like that, right?
Yeah,
yeah. So, do you think that this show?
Well, I think so. Like what you're saying, I mean, we've been on other YouTube shows, and Nikki, I was going to ask you too in a second about your comments and people coming in. It's interesting. Some people said that it was going to like that House of the Dragon. You guys, I don't know. You guys are too hyped for it. Like people have said they're not going to be in on it. And it's sort of like, yeah, you can look to Disney, you can look to Star Wars and other fandoms and say you can have a misstep or whatever. These are huge freaking fandoms. And if you do something right, like if you do the right things, like this trailer is showing us that they're doing. They're going about this the right way. You know what I mean? There's no reason to knee jerk and do something completely different than what you did in Game of Thrones. Game of Thrones had the recipe. It had all the things that you needed. They were there. Did they finish season 8? All that kind of stuff. That's a different topic, but like it's all there and it's really, it was a really good recipe. So they're taking it and saying, let's take what's good. And like Jimmy said, you know, you gotta look at the writing. Does it make sense? Are we going to be tying, you know, different plot lines together and stuff like that? That's a big question mark still. But as far as the cinematography, the casting, all those other things we see in the trailer, it's just like abso-freaking-lutely knocking it out of the park. So,
And one quick thing, just before I want to toss it to Nikki to get some thoughts on that too. Just to remind Miguel Sapochnik, I think is I don't know how you pronounce his name. He's like one of the lead showrunners, and he, if you go back and you look at the episodes of Game of Thrones that he worked on, they're all like the massive battles. He did. Hardhome, which was a super like where Jon fights the White Walker, and then like, you know, we see the Night King having an epic stare down. He did the Battle of the Bastards, the Winds of Winter, which is my single favorite episode of Game of Thrones. That's where the Sept of Baelor gets destroyed, and then also where Jon is pronounced King in the North. and you get the flashback to Tower of the Joy. And then he also did The Long Night, that, you know, that took where the Night King is killed, took him 40, you know, like days or whatever to film. And then The Bells, which is like the huge, you know, final battle at King's Landing, where Daenerys is just, you know, burning everything down. So, I mean, this guy's worked on like massive scale battle productions. And that's what this whole story is Targaryen civil war. So I just wanted to, just so to our listeners, like, just because we had talked a little bit about like who some of these people are. He's also worked on Alter Carbon, Iron Fist. Looks like he kind of just comes in and does a few episodes. But then he's also done stuff. He did stuff on Fringe. He did stuff on House, which like I've seen clips of it. You know, it's kind of a fun show, but it's like a very drama story.
The dialogue's phenomenal in that show.
The dialogue's phenomenal. So it's like I see both sides of the thing, and then I think I can handle it. So just wanted to get that in there. So, Nikki, so what are your thoughts kind of on, like, coming out of season 8? Like, you know, what are you seeing kind of in some of your comments and stuff like that?
It's kind of nice. I'm being very careful with what I discuss, because I think the majority of my comment section haven't read Fire and Blood. So I don't want to spoil it. You know, I'm always encouraging people, but, you know, go and get the books. But it's not my place to ruin that for you. And perhaps not do the story justice. So what I'm kind of seeing is people who haven't read the books are so disappointed and hurt by the way that season 8 ended. They are not sure if they want to invest themselves in House of the Dragon to just be let down again. So it's trying to explain that, no, it's different showrunners. It's not D&D. George R. R. Martin's going crazy for this, which tells me that it's a good thing. So, jump in head first, straight in the deep end, because I do think it is going to be good. I'm very positive about it. But I do understand why so many people are kind of like, I don't know if I've got the emotional energy to jump into this and just be completely let down. So I do get it. So I think for anybody feeling like that, I would definitely say it's worth taking the risk.
Yeah.
There's so many variables you don't have to worry about when it comes to this team. And this has just been my mission statement from the get-go, trying to, and, you know, I'm not going to argue with anybody to say, hey, you got to watch it or anything. But the problem with season 7 and 8, because I believe 7 was just as bad as 8, was D&D. They're the only ones not back. Like, largely everyone who made this show a success is back. I also believe that George is not dumb. I think George knows the reception that season 8 got. And I think that he probably more than ever was like, let's make sure this is good, guys. Like, let's make sure that I can kind of sign off on these things. And we do know he's been a lot more involved. He's not writing full episodes, which is good news for us book fans. But he is having a hand in how the writing process is going in the production of the show, which in my opinion, just like Nikki said, that's a good thing. George seems very optimistic about this. And you can kind of tell whenever he talked about season 7 and 8, you know, oh, they kind of went off the script here a little bit, but I'm really proud of D&D and what they did, you know, because he's not going to, I mean, he can't dumpster, but he seems genuinely excited. And one of the things that we've noticed is that George is writing a lot more. I know there was an update like a couple months back that a lot of people took negatively, which I actually didn't, which is strange. No. I read it optimistically. And then his most recent update was very optimistic, talking about the end of the Winds of Winter. So the fact that this might be pumping some lifeblood into Georgie boy, I mean, come on. Railroad Martin's putting the pen to paper. I'm ready.
He's laying some track, isn't he? Jimmy, what you said was really, really important, because like Nikki, to your listeners and people out there who are wondering, do I invest in this? Can I invest in this or whatever?
Should I just get it out, Jimmy?
I wish I had time.
get the railroad.
You have done Jimmy R.R. Martin on my channel before.
He has, Jimmy.
The full beard and everything.
I had the suspenders, too.
Yeah, I didn't even know they still made suspenders.
I didn't know we were dressing up for this episode.
I did. God dang it.
But no, you know, on George R.R. Martin, I mean, like, that's the thing. He now has... this is not like a book he has to finish. He's not giving D&D a set of here's the ending, here's what happens, or whatever, and you guys try to get there, and they're like, well, hold on a second, we like didn't get there, and nor are we going to give it the time, because that's something that Jimmy's always said to me, is that there wasn't enough time. Like they did, they didn't go to the number of seasons that they probably should have to fill in what George thought that they should do. So the reason it doesn't work is because they're like, no, we have to do it in eight. And he's like, you need like 10, like if not more. And here's where you have to get to. And so now it doesn't make sense. So they don't have that same problem with this show because it's an outline and they can pick and choose. There's a freedom. Like you said, those guys are out. And so you have people now who are on board. George is working on it. They're passionate about it. I think it's me. I think they're not out of the park. Really.
Raymond's doing the soundtrack, which the music in this trailer was, I mean, if you didn't, if your heart didn't get pumping, and then the little Game of Thrones main entry theme tie-in at the end.
Yeah. You know, I will be, because I talked, we talked, as and I talked about that in our trailer breakdown was the score and how I think they should go about it. And I am actually shocked at the amount of people that sent me messages on Instagram and Twitter, and they are all saying the same thing where they're like, the score has to be like, and I not that it's going to be, but just like how they would do it. And they all, I was actually kind of, everyone kind of agreed. And we said, I think you go the Star Wars route where
you
can bring in new elements and new themes, but I would still keep that sort of core theme there. Just rechange it. Like, you know, Star Wars, the original movies, you know, 4, 5, and 6 have, they introduce all that music, right? And then you go back to episodes 1, 2, and 3. It's still the Star Wars theme, long time ago in a galaxy far, far away. But then in episode 1, we get Duel of Fates, right?
Yeah.
And it's the, now this new theme that gets brought in. And then we get the like the Anakin Padme theme, and it gets brought in. And then you go to the sequels. And, you know, the one thing about the sequels is the music was still good, right? I mean, it's still John Williams. It's still great. And then you go to like the Mandalorian. And as we're expanding this stuff out and you have a different composer, I can never pronounce his last name, but anyway, he comes in and he's bringing in all these new Star Wars themes, but it still feels the same, but you bring in new stuff. So and we have the exact same composer here, Ramin Djawadi. I had to look up how to pronounce his name.
Yeah, like, Ramin or Raymond. I don't know.
Yeah, how it's to the say last it. Name. It's the last name. It's like Djawadi,
but
think
he's
is how you
he's
pronounce
the jam.
It.
I mean, he's amazing.
He's so good. Yeah, he's so good. but so yeah, I think you keep some of that same similar Game of Thrones music, stuff like that. Like, I was shocked in that the trailer, by the way, starts and it's like people listening who in their support, and it's like, you know, Stark, Roderick Stark. I was like, whoa,
dude, when that name dropped and I like when you could tell like they were swearing something. I told you this when I watched it, and I don't know, like Nikki, if you guys got this as well, I got chills. When I heard them swearing, I was like, it's just like a ceremonial type of thing. That's like a big deal. Like, we're setting up everything there. I mean, that's it. Like we swore loyalty here. Okay. So when you call the banners, these guys are going to come. That's exactly what we set up there. And so they showed us that, and I couldn't believe it. I was like, oh my God, this is sick.
Yeah. I think it's because the world has been so well realized, and like, we know what the swearing an oath means. Right. In this. And that's where like all the groundwork, like the subconscious groundwork that's been laid in Game of Thrones. Like, we know the great houses. We know, you know, the what it means to be brought into the Red Keep to swear fealty. Like, those are big things. We remember Joffrey having people come in and do that. So those are like subconscious things that will pay off that Game of Thrones did years and years back that will still make this feel like a congruent world, really. I linked a picture here in our private chat. I don't know if we can pull it up.
Yeah,
I didn't know this. I just saw winterscoming.net tweeted this as we're sitting here. Rhaenyra's chain in the trailer. And this is the little details that we don't have to worry about. Those are all the house sigils of the kingdoms.
Wow.
What? Yeah.
Targaryen's in the middle. Okay. And then over there on the right, it starts to become all of the other house sigils. These are little details that like...
The people that swore to her, or like the
that's all the kingdoms, right? So 6 kingdoms, because Dorne does
oh,
not
it's got
Dorne
all of them. Oh, it's got all 1, 2 okay.
Yeah, I am still, and I say it every time, I am still baffled at the young actresses they have for Rhaenyra and Alicent, and just how
she looks, because
they look just like they're little sisters. Like, it's so shocking, so sweet.
So. I have a question for Nikki, because I know that before we went to record, you know, we kind of talked about changes, right, between A Song of Ice and Fire and what happened in Game of Thrones, and how, you know, that has been a really cool bridge for us to bring people into the books. What level of changes do you expect from this show, and what level would you be okay with? Because I think that that's a really important distinction to make as we head into an adaptation of something that is more of a historical context rather than a, you know, a fluent narrative.
I struggle with this, and I say often, I have to admit, I always have trouble separating the books from the show. And as you've said, it is an adaptation. So I've always said the way that season 8 ended and how all those plots tied up, I really liked them, provided that they've been drawn out. So I think as far as changes go, like you say, we've got differing accounts from unreliable narrators. We don't know who's telling the truth yet.
Yeah.
I don't have a problem with any changes as long as it fits in with sort of like the core elements of the content itself, if that kind of makes sense. So as long as it's done well and it makes sense, they can do what they like. That's kind of where I stand on it.
Yeah.
I don't know how you guys feel about it.
I would actually agree with you largely. I think staying true to the central form, not only of the theme, like the thematic value of the story, but also to the way that the show has been executed to this point, right? Which is something that could happen in this show that's a little bit different than Game of Thrones that I think people should, you know, kind of brace themselves for, is that this could have a lot of time jumps if they are going to do one or even two seasons. And I think that a quicker pace is probably likely. And I think that's okay. It doesn't have to be as long and drawn out as Game of Thrones. The problem with the later seasons of Game of Thrones is that the pace flipped so fast. Right. And we're all just like, whoa, easy. But if this show were to start at that kind of pace and keep that pace throughout, it's fine. Pacing can vary in storytelling, and you can have a really slow burn that works, and you can also have a very fast paced action, you know, packed pace that works. It's about being consistent and knowing when to ramp up and turn down, which is what the last season, I think, had a lot of trouble with in the original show. But I think House of Dragon has a chance to actually be a little bit quicker, which might even capture more of the general audience than before. But I also think that when you have Matt Smith and these other talented actors, we're going to have a lot of slow, rich dialogue that's going to be awesome. But I think it's very important for this show to have consistent pacing. And that is going to be one of the bigger challenges that it's going to face, as along with hopefully the writing, you know, is up to par. So,
yeah, I think this show has a five seasons would be like perfect. I don't know that I would go above five. Minimally, I think you've got three seasons. Like if you really, just in terms of that whole arc.
Yes.
I feel like you've got three, but I would say five. I wouldn't do any more than like seven. Seems like a lot for
less is more for me. I'd be happy with like two, three, honestly.
Two seems too short. I feel like you're at three minimum.
I think you can get it though. Yeah, I think four could be like a happy medium there.
Yeah. Because one of the things that this show could run into, that Game of Thrones started to run into a little bit, I think maybe towards the end, although everything we hear from the actors is them saying like they were willing to do more. But, you know, and you see this with every big show, is that the budget increases just because you have to pay the salaries of these people and they want to start to move on and do other things. In Game of Thrones, a lot of these actors didn't really come in with like a ton of renown, I guess, to them. You know, I mean, like Sean Bean does as your first character, but then he's killed off in season one. Lyanna Headey's probably at that point your second biggest actress, because she was in like the Terminator Sarah Connor Chronicles, and she had been in some other stuff too. But I mean, you know, Emilia Clarke wasn't anything, Kit Harington wasn't, there was a lot of those people were kids, you know. Whereas with this, you're coming into some people who are already like pretty, you're a little more established. I mean, Matt Smith's like, he was in Doctor Who. He was just in, I know it's
The Crown.
Not that, right. The Crown. He was just in. I mean, it wasn't a good movie, but I mean, still he was in Morbius, which is a superhero movie. It's not his fault that the movie sucked. But you know what I mean? It's like, so you're already getting cast in these like big roles. He was supposed to be in Star Wars. So, I mean, you've already got him, and he's like going to be like throughout. But we are also, again, we are also starting to see a shift where you see these mega stars saying, hey, we actually want to do some of these series. I mean, Henry Cavill's all on board to keep doing The Witcher. I mean, he's Superman. He's in Mission Impossible. So,
yeah. I don't know, guys. When I heard Matt talking there about these actors being willing to do more, I just mushroom popped into my head, and I thought, where is he going with that? Where are you going with this?
Oh, no.
Oh, I'm kidding. Mushroom's a little devil. Are we? That's another question. We're going to see him.
Oh, we better see Mushroom. Riot.
It's a whole element to the show that they, I feel like, you know, I want to see those things. Same thing like Nikki said. I'm like wondering like how far, like Matt was showing pictures up here on the screen over on our YouTube, and you had Sir Criston Cole up there, right? And I was just like, that guy is such a flip-flopper. You know, he goes so back and forth. I'll be interested to kind of figure out, like, does he love anybody? Is he doing this for political gain? Like, where did his loyalty lie?
This is this isn't just actually an impact for House of the Dragon, but this is an impact for the main book series, because Jaime Lannister has many thoughts about Cole in the main series, talking about the Kingmaker and what was his duty and what was his honor. And Cole is very polarizing in the history.
Yeah.
So finally seeing like what decisions he actually make, did he go to Rhaenyra? All these things actually has a lot of impact on the books. If we take this as canon. So when I did my recent read through, I noticed how many times Cole's name came up in Jaime's inner monologue. Yeah. So I think that, I'm just really excited. And I think that's the beauty of like Fire and Blood and all of the history that George has put out into his world is like, it's not just some like mindless cash grab. I've saw people like explain it that way. Like it's a mindless cash grab. It's just some history. No, all of it seems to be intertwined.
Right.
You know, even when I was reading Fire and Blood and there's some lost eggs in that book and I'm like, oh no, are those the ones that showed up in the main series? Probably. Who knows? Right. And these questions are why we continue to reread and why we get excited about new shows. And this show is, I'm sure, going to answer a lot of the questions that we had.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting. We're doing our first read through of Duncan Egg, actually, we went back and we started to look at when they were written. So, like, if you go back and you look, he wrote Game of Thrones, and then he wrote, you know, like, Clash of Kings, stuff like that. But at the same time, he's writing the Duncan Egg series. Mm-hmm. And you can see so many parallels like between the two. Like Maekar Targaryen starts to get referenced like after he's introduced him in Duncan Egg. And so it is this very interconnected thing. And it's still cool stuff too. Like Ez and I talked about it the other day, and we've talked about it before. I totally hope, this is just a huge wish for me, is, you know, it's all Targaryens assassinating each other. Have a faceless man kill somebody off and bring back the actor who plays Jack and Hagar, because that would just be so sweet. Cause it's just, they just wear the faces, and that would be,
wild.
That would trend on Twitter. That would Twitter would blow up that day.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
You're wild. And just real quick, so Jimmy brought this up. I wanted to mention this just here. So yeah, it's the Kingmaker, you know, set brother against sister, divided the King's Guard against itself, bringing on terrible wars of the singers that the singers named the Dance of Dragons. Some claimed he acted from ambition, for Prince Aegon was more, you know, tractable than his willful older sister. Like that's the kind of stuff that this was mentioned. Like it's just there, and so it's kind of cool to think that we're gonna get to see this guy. So I don't know, like all those little elements. I mean, tie-ins to the series, faceless men assassinations. I mean, like Jimmy said earlier too, everything's been built. It's all there. You do have a really good foundation to kind of build out from. So I don't know. This is going to be exciting. Nikki, is there like a particular character you're like excited to see like more of? I don't know, because I know you do a lot of Jaime content over on TikTok. So I brought up Sir Criston Cole. I don't know if this is like, is he going to step on the screen and, you know.
I really like what you guys are saying about Sir Criston Cole, because, you know, one of the narratives that we get about Rhaenyra is that the time that she spends with Daemon is because she's completely in love with Sir Criston Cole. So how are we going to see that relationship? And then obviously when Viserys dies, Criston flips. He wants to crown Aegon. He wants to support that. So that is very much the sort of dynamic that I want to see. Like you guys are saying, where does that flip come in? When does he decide that, oh, actually, no, this is where my loyalties lie and right. why? So I am totally with you guys on that one. That's an interesting one that I definitely want to see.
Yeah, I think that's going to be probably one of the points of the show that a lot of people will latch onto because there are parallels to Jamie. And that's very on purpose. Like George obviously brings up Cole in his chapters for a reason. And I think that's actually the piece I'm most excited for. And then possibly, and I don't want to spoil anything, but the war on the steps where Damon goes down and kind of makes his own kingdom. I hope that I could see that being cut because I don't necessarily think it's, I don't know if it's necessary, for the narrative, but I like that piece in Fire and Blood. And also,
that could
scene would be dope.
Yeah, that could be like the war in the steps is the way I would almost do that is you end a season with him saying, like, I'm going to go do this. And then you start a season with, like, you know, like a battle and he's like finishing it. And then it's kind of like that way you could kind of have it.
Yeah.
You don't have to show the whole thing, but you can have him, you know, do some of that. Where do you guys think? Because as I were talking about this, if you look at the trailer, it doesn't look like we get much outside of like Driftmark and King's Landing. Do you think we're going to see anything really outside of that in season one? Nikki, do you think we're going to, what areas do you think we're going to kind of see in season one?
Well, this is what I've been trying to work out. So how far into this story are we going? Because, you know, just before Viserys dies, Rhaenyra and Daemon run off to Dragonstone. Do you know what I mean? So I don't know if they're withholding all the exciting stuff from the trailer. I think it's difficult to judge without knowing how far through we're going. Is the story going to span across a few seasons? I don't know, to be honest. I don't know. What do you guys reckon on that one?
I think that's the biggest question of all, right? Like, are we getting the entire dance in one season?
There's just no way.
I would hope not.
Way too much.
No.
I would hope not. Because this could be so good if drawn out. I think
it does look as though they might have gone to, do you know what I mean? Run off and done their secret little marriage. You know, that clip where I said, oh, when they looked at each other.
Yeah.
I do wonder, is that going to be the ending of that season before everything really does kick off?
Or are they going to move that up in the history to get that relationship started? You know what I mean?
Do you think, here's a question, because we see a lot of young Rhaenyra and young Alison Hightower. Do you think it's going to be like, because I think Ez and I were talking about this the other day, it's like maybe we get like, 5 episodes where it's like young and then we get a time jump to current day.
That could happen.
See, I think Viserys dies in like episode 9. Like I think season 1 ends with like the dance kicking off, not like the battle over the God's Eye and all that. I think that's like, cuz I mean there's, I just don't see how they would want to keep this like as a mini series. I think it's got to be 2 to 3 seasons, especially right now, because you need content. I mean,
well, one thing to note, you need
content to compete with Netflix and everybody.
Well, certainly. And one thing to note is that they didn't cast like, some schmo in Viserys' role. I always forget his name. He's a fantastic actor.
He's in Peaky Blinders.
Yeah. And he's been in a lot of stuff. He was in True Detective or something I've watched recently. Oh, The Outsider. He was in The Outsider adaptation. He's really great actor. So they're going to get a lot out of him. So I actually agree with you. I would be shocked if he were to exit stage left earlier in the season. That might even be the midway point, the mid-season climax. So it'll be interesting to see what they do with that. I think we'll see Old Town for sure. Dragonstone's obvious, right? Trying to think of anything else. We won't see the North. I don't think we'll see any of the North.
I don't think we will too.
There's no reason, right? I wish they were a little bit more transparent with the timeline. I wish I knew a little bit more from that. But we still have a lot of time. I keep forgetting the show doesn't come out next month. It comes out in August.
Right.
Like, the fact that they drop a trailer this soon is wild, but they know what they're doing. They know they're releasing right next to the Tolkien show, and they're going to have a couple episodes out before that. They really put the heat on Amazon.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. I don't want to be a hater on the Lord of the Rings show, but I don't know, man. The trailers don't even stack up for me. Now, Ez is the Lord of the Rings guy too, and I
love Lord of the Rings. I'm excited for the show, but right. If you listen to if you go and poll people, I don't know a ton of people that are like hype for the Tolkien show.
And the trailer for sure. I give people this, like, when you compare trailer to like trailer and what's going on, not even close. Not even close. When you see it, like, if they would have come out with something like they're not rolling out anything epic, like no dialogue, no real good dialogue between people, or like rolling into a kingdom or to a hall and someone speaking and something. They're not really doing that kind of stuff.
I think the Wheel of Time trailer was better than the Lord of the Rings trailer. I'm not saying the show will be. The show will probably be a little bit better than Wheel of Time season one.
Yeah,
The Wheel of Time trailer actually was good.
Yeah,
it was a good trailer.
But I just think that shows the confidence that they have in this show. I'm very curious to see if they, like, you know, kind of what Nikki was saying, are they going to move up maybe Daemon and Rhaenyra's relationship? Like, are we going to see that, like, very early? Like, not even say that we'll get to that point, but, like, what if they just pick it up and say, well, for narrative purposes, let's put this here. I would assume that George would have probably a big hand in that. And he's written for TV all of his life. So I feel like he would know what concessions to make in the timeline. So I'm excited. I think we all are kind of like subtly saying we really hope that it's not just like one season and they just cover the history and we're done. I think we all want it to be an epic drama. It can be Game of Thrones-esque, just like Better Call Saul is very much, you know, Breaking Bad in a lot of ways. So,
right. You know, some other things in this trailer I just want to point out that I guess we don't really think, you know, I just sort of didn't think about, but I mean, is that that's Dark Sister, right? I mean, Daemon has Dark Sister, the Steel Sword.
Yeah.
Like, also kind of like, go ahead.
I was going to say, what about when Hightower is wearing her green dress?
Right.
The black versus the greens. Yeah. I got so excited. I was like, oh.
And in the initial trailer, like the dagger that she's using, I mean, that's the cat's paw dagger.
The cat's paw dagger, dude.
Like, stuff like that. Like, that did not need to be that dagger.
That's on purpose.
That's definitely on purpose. Like, that thing kills the Night King. And like, this shot is so sick, man, with like the dragon.
Yeah.
Now, see, at first we were kind of like, what is that building? Because it's at a different angle.
Oh, yeah, it was.
That's the Red Keep. We've never seen it like from that angle. And so
Fourteen dragons at this time.
17.
Right? 17 dragons. Yeah. I mean, that's something that we're gonna have to get used to as viewers. Like, we're not, you know, they were special and they still are special, but like, they're much more like animals or pets rather. In this show, you know,
they're gonna have names.
You have a dragon.
Yeah.
It's like Oprah. Boom.
Yeah.
Boom, boom, boom,
exactly.
Look under your seats. You've got a dragon. Okay.
Bormund Baratheon. Let's go.
Yeah, Bormund Baratheon, and then like, I love this shot right here too of Viserys, and I love the way they did the Iron Throne, because because it's obviously they didn't do it like the way it's done in the books, but to do it this way with all the swords being around it, you could see Robert Baratheon later when they changed the Iron Throne coming in and be like, get rid of all this crap, you know, like like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I think that was a very smart change.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. You had to change it up a little bit, and it'll be those little things that say, oh, this is a different time period. Like, that's not what that looked like.
And then right here, he's got Blackfyre, which Ez and I were talking, you know, there's so many small little things that they could say that they did. If you go back into Game of Thrones, when Joffrey is talking to Jaime and they're looking at the white book and Joffrey's kind of making, you know, making fun of Jaime. He's like looking at all the different names and all the stories, and he's like, "Ooh, Arthur Dayne." He's like, "Ooh, wow, Duncan the Tall. His story's big." And he's like, "Well, what about you, Uncle?" And he like flips to him, and he's like, "You know, there's not a lot there." But Jaime says to him, "Well, there's still, you know, plenty of time." But Joffrey's like upset at him. So like, that's like a tiny little nod that they did to like Duncan the Tall and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So I was saying, like, you know, you could do something with like just because we see it in the trailer, like Blackfyre here, you could say something where it's like somebody gives him his sword before he's going out to stand here, and it's like, oh well, it's got a new pommel. Or like, okay, hey, your new pommel's finished. Because that's like a tiny little nod to all the people that are like Long Claws, Blackfyre. You know what I mean? Like, just like tiny little stuff like that that I think they're gonna do, because it looks like, I mean, the trailer just looks, I mean, it looks like it's in really good hands. That's, you know.
Oh, yeah. Right. Something real quick I wanted to bring up, and Nikki, because you've talked about this, like, where are we going to go? And then you guys have been talking about, like, how many seasons we're going to have. We have a situation where, and this is, you know, spoilers. There's an outline out there. We tell people here. We're going to talk about some of the spoilers. You have a situation where, like Rhaenyra, to strengthen her claim, she loses Sir Criston Cole's affection or whatever it is because of the marriage to the Velaryons, right? To Laenor. And then you have the whole Harwin Strong stuff happen, right? And then you have the little fighting and little bickering and stuff and all those things that go down. So, like, there's a lot just in that, like, before anything happens with King Viserys that can go down. There's a lot of little, like tourneys and things. Like Sir Criston Cole is, like, knocking the heck out of Alison Hightower's, like, champions and stuff, right? And winning her favor or whatever. But is he also getting close to her? To Allison at the same time? Like, I feel like you have to have some build, and for us to really like these characters and see some of the plotting and see some of the whispering and stuff, and then say, okay, yeah, like, then we get to some of these bigger battles. Because I had a map up earlier of all the battles and all the things that you can do later on, but I don't know. Like, I really don't know how far we're going to go in this. And I wondered, you know, just isn't there enough there just to kind of do a full half season on the prelude to all of this, right? I mean, or is this whole season just a prelude to the actual battle? You know, like King Viserys, when does he die in this? Is it, are we going to see him all the way to the end, or is he going to stick around? You know what I mean? Like, I feel like there's just a lot. There's actually a lot that you could do. There's still a lot of stuff in the source material that you can kind of elaborate on. So, any thoughts? Any takers?
I mean, I think that it's tough to say. I think that's the biggest question mark, right? Is like, what is the timeline of the show? Like, where do they begin? What if Viserys dies episode one? Which, Jesus, to be fair, would actually be like a fine way to start a show. That's how a lot of fantasy books start. You know, King dead, what happens now? And that's kind of at the core of what this story is. Is that catalyst. But I do think it would benefit everyone if Viserys stuck around for at least like half the season to build that anticipation of knowing something's coming. Also in like what manner that happens, like, will that change in the show? That's a pretty wild question. Like, will there be a conspiracy about who kills King Viserys? Right. So that's another drama point that you could add in to the show. But I don't know. I think that's the biggest question right now.
There's just a lot of killing, but before you have that smirk, before you have that smirk between Daemon and Rhaenyra, like what we're seeing, there's a lot of plotting and a lot of scheming, and Laenor, you know, dying, and Laena, and then there's a lot of other things that happen that take place that you could do. And depending on when they might move stuff around, right? They could do that. They could move things around. But I just feel like there's still like what I'm saying is it gives me a lot of hope. Like, you can kind of pick and choose. If you don't want to do everything, you don't have to. But for people wondering, like, what is there in this that you can do? There's a ton. There's a ton of little kind of like plot points that I think you can kind of flesh out and pull out. Like, you could build up a big, because a lot of people have not and are not, like Nikki was saying with some of her fan base, they're not reading this book. They don't know. They have no idea what these plot points are. And so when she gets, you know, when she marries into the Velaryons, like, they don't know what they think. Maybe she's gonna have a secret romance with this Kingsguard member, and then she's hooking up with Harwin Strong and not actually with Laenor. You know, I mean, there's so many things right there just in that one relationship that you can kind of build to. And then you get the Hightowers doing their own thing. I don't know. I hope people see all the potential and all those points that we can do. And I really have no idea how you're gonna pace it out, because we've seen so many things with the young actors and then the older actors. I just feel like there's a lot, and it gives me hope. So
absolutely.
I do wonder how Because in, you know, typically in any sort of series or story, you have the heroes and the villains. We don't really have that in this story. Do you know what I'm saying? I suppose, like, especially towards the end of Game of Thrones, it was very clear that Jon Snow was your good guy. And I feel like the books do a much better job of sort of blurring the lines between good and evil, and really making you question who you should be rooting for. And I think especially with the whole greens and blacks, there's no sort of, you know, they're both diabolical in their own way. They've both got decent claims. So I'm really interested to see how they spin this story, given that there is no clear good or bad guy, if that makes sense. So I think that will depend, influence a lot how they tell the story.
Yeah, I think Rhaenyra will be the quote unquote baby face. I think she will be the good guy at first. But knowing what we know, she has to be turned, or they ride it all the way out and it becomes a tragic story, which I dare say has some similar vibes to the original show, which I could see a lot of people being upset with. So that's an interesting thing that we can probably talk about. But I think Rhaenyra is going to be the good guy, good girl, or whatever the... baby face. That's how I always say it. So she'll be the baby face, at least for the first half of this television show. And then it will come to a point, kind of much like Daenerys, where does she do some heinous things to achieve her goals? And what's the cost of that? I also think Corlys Velaryon could probably be a really good character that, like, people are pretty even on throughout the entire show. And also, I'm just pumped to see what Corlys Velaryon does. I think that actor's going to do a wonderful job. But yeah, you are right. I think that, like, you know, Jon Snow, Arya, like the Starks, for instance, I mean, they are the people we're supposed to be cheering for the most part. I don't know if you have that clear cut tribe in this. I think it's actually a little bit more about the individuals than ever before, which, I mean, you still have that in A Song of Ice and Fire and Game of Thrones, obviously, but this even more so. You're going to have to judge individuals by their actions, and the tribe might not always align with their actions. So I think it's high drama, but it is going to be a question of who we're going to root for. I think that line will be very clear towards the end. It has to be for it to come to a good resolution, I think.
Yeah. Wouldn't it be interesting if the, like, the whole, so in this, we root for, like, you have your blacks and your greens, and you really have people like polarized and like rooting for different factions hardcore because they both have attributes of light and dark or good and bad or whatever. Like, that may be the case, because Nikki's totally right. There is, like, no straight, clear cut, like, good guy at all.
Yeah. I think season one is, I think it's 10 episodes is what the rumors and everything, have said. But I think you do it just like you did Game of Thrones. I would have Viserys die. I would have all this build up between Alicent and Rhaenyra, both with them as younger and then older. I'd have Viserys die in episode 9, and then that's when you, like, episode 10 is like, we're going to war. But I would have, like, some fighting or something break out, you know, that isn't mentioned in the books, just to sort of amplify it, that, like, we're going to war with each other is the way I would end season one. Because that's kind of like how Game of Thrones season one ends, is Ned Stark, you know, it starts out, John Arryn's dead, and okay, the king's coming. It's a murder mystery. The king's coming. Like, everything seems to be going okay for a little bit. Ned Stark goes down to King's Landing. Okay, we can see there's some tension here, whatever. And it just keeps building and building. Episode four, you know, Catelyn captures Tyrion. It's like, oh, what did you just do? And, like, that's what causes Jaime to stab, you know, to fight Ned in the streets and get captured. And then it seems like, okay, now Ned is being put in this position where he could be looked sort of as a traitor, and his house is coming down, and he's feuding with Robert over, should we kill Daenerys or not? And then he's like, I'm not Hand of the King anymore. He walks out. And then right as he sort of uncovers the mystery, Robert dies. And then, okay, now it's Joffrey and everything, and the plan goes wrong. So, like, you want your first season to sort of end on a, like, oh my God, like, all hell is about to break loose. And that's where it starts in season two. So, like, season one, the way I would view it is you show Rhaenyra as, like, this is who we're going to root for and everything. And then when Viserys dies, we're saying she should be in charge. Well, no, because Allison's there, right? And so then I would have the coronation of Aegon the Second be sort of just kind of like the way Joffrey takes over. That's probably how I would do season one.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. Sorry, you crack on.
Go ahead, Nikki.
Yeah, go ahead, Nikki.
Well, that's it, isn't it? Because the minute Viserys dies, Allison is straight into rounding up the council and saying, "Right, this is what I'm doing. We're crowning Aegon. This is what's happening." And immediately starts to. So they, what is it that she does? She they make sure that Rhaenyra cannot get any word of her father's death until they have eliminated all of her supporters. So that would be an amazing episode, watching them round everybody up and work really hard to prevent her from getting that knowledge and getting a step ahead. So yeah, 100%, the way that Joffrey takes the throne, do that exact thing and end with it, with her and Daemon finding out, like, oh crap, okay.
Yeah. You could even add in some other elements that we don't have, because one of the big mysteries is, did Allison kill Viserys? Because it's like she's just in the room with him. Mm-hmm. We don't know what happened. So you could even build it up a little bit more to where she's like already plotting there, or she, you know, something to is we're gonna find out. So you'd have that too. Isn't she in the room with King Jaehaerys too?
When he dies,
the old
king,
yeah,
she was dying. But yeah,
right. She's taking care of him. Yeah, that's right.
Mushroom said that even more might have happened. We don't know.
She was taking care of him. That's what he said.
Well, here's the question though: is that too similar though? If you do that, because you are going to have people say, "We've already done this before." Like, you know what I mean? Is that too similar?
I think it's going to be different because of this. Like, you have a couple people in that room right afterwards, like Nikki was talking. What's his name? One of the Kingsguard, like Darklyn or Stefan or something like that.
Yes. Yeah.
He takes off. I mean, he's in confrontation with Sir Criston Cole. So I feel like you're going to have some, like, maybe a duel breakout or something, and they take the crown. Right. And that was one of the pieces that Rhaenyra was like, okay, I have the crown. He, like, gets away. But like Nikki said, there's a long time until he can get over there. They've went right on ahead and with the coronation. So it's going to be a real different thing. I don't know if that happens in, like Matt said, 9 or 10 or when it happens, but it'll be,
I think the big difference is that in Game of Thrones, what sort of was the underlying thing was the Lannisters were sort of there, like, illegally, right? Like, Joffrey's a bastard. So he's not even,
and he's supposed to be a Baratheon, but everyone basically says Lannisters.
Right. Right. He's supposed to be a Baratheon, but he's from two Lannisters. He's actually a bastard. So he's actually what are the rock or whatever they Stone. Like, that's like the one, like the land, the, what is Stone, it? What is right? The bastard? Yeah. It's the bastards of the Westerlands is like the one that I always forget. Cause I don't think there's like nobody who's like a prominent bastard Stone? Of the Westerlands.
Hill.
Yes. Yes. Classic. Yeah. So he should actually be Joffrey Hill, but you know, whatever. So, but I think that's sort of the thing, is you have that going on, and you also have like the White Walkers, and like we're spread kind of all over the place in Game of Thrones with Daenerys. And so this is much more straightforward between who's actually just the rightful king. Whereas like season two of Game of Thrones and the books, obviously, is the War of Five Kings, where everyone's pronouncing themselves to be kings, and it was this thing. Where here, I think it's just it's a little simpler in that it's
going to be story.
Yeah, it's going to be from the viewpoint of Rhaenyra saying, like, hey, because we already know we're going to see her say you're not allowed to be king or, you know, queen. You're not allowed to sit the Iron Throne because you're a woman. So I think that's going to be sort of the big sort of focal point. And they have a ton of dragons and stuff like that too. So it is going to be much more of a civil war, as opposed to a external Song threat. Of Ice and Fire, right? I mean, yes. Like with all even the different elements,
even the War of the Five Kings, right? It's almost laughable how non-starter of like Stannis's and Renly's armies are, right? Like it's almost embarrassing. Like we never get full-fledged war in King's Landing other than Blackwater Bay, right? Mm-hmm. Where they get stomped out, and then Stannis kind of does his thing until whatever is going to happen with him in the books. Whereas this is like true civil war. There will be scheming, but most of it will be absolute, you know, devastation. And it will also come with dragons. And it's not, you know, like Dany coming from over the sea. I mean, it's right here at home. And if you look from the perspective of the small people that live in King Fleabottom, for instance, it's like two leaders in your country going to war with nuclear weapons. I mean, that's basically what this is. So it's going to be all out civil nuclear war. It's going to be really fun to watch. And it is a lot more of a personal and scoped narrative. You won't be jumping across to the Dothraki Sea where, you know, some of the pacing slows down. Like, you're not going to have any of that.
Right.
So I think it'll be even a little easier to follow probably for a lot of people. And I do think that you're going to have a lot of time for those individual character moments. And I think Rhaenyra and Chris and Cole is going to be like probably the thing I want to see the most, honestly.
Real quick. I want to say, so because Nikki brought up something a bit back, and I've been thinking about this. OK, like, who's the hero in this story? And there is one, actually. And we're talking about what is known, what's been pitched, what's been said to us by audience members. We're listening, we're seeing this story. Viserys, they just showed us in the trailer. They swore that they would that they would back her claim. We all saw it, we all heard it, we all were there. We knew the will of the king. We knew the will of her father. Yep. Everyone in the realm knows. It's not like it's some secret thing. It's a public thing, right? We knew she was on Dragonstone waiting to take that. She's set up there. I do kind of feel like, like Jimmy said, whether it ends up being this way the whole way or not, I think people are going to be on, like, backing her like crazy because, like, no, what are you guys doing? The High Towers are coming in and, like, usurping the throne. They're giving it to her younger brother. Now you get into the 101 AC council situation where it's like, no, well, you can't have a woman sit the throne. Okay. So we got to put this guy in there. And that's, or whatever it is. Maybe she writes some secret thing on a piece of paper before she kills him, Matt. And then that we realize the High Towers are really they're not good. We should get behind Rhaenyra. I just feel like it's going to be hard to hear everybody swear. Cause I've never declared one way whether I'm on with the blacks and the greens, but now that I'm thinking about it, they all swore. So it's like, oh, it's hard, man. Ugh.
Yeah, I think, you know, the other thing is my guess is like the season two trailer. This is what I would do is because the season two trailer is where because season one, we're introducing House Valyrian, which is very new for, you know, people who aren't like hardcore book readers like us. So that's going to be as well as the High Towers. Like, OK, we're bringing in House Hightower. We're bringing in House Valyrian. Now we've got these and two sides of the Targaryen family, essentially. So we're bringing all these people. Now, season two is once you sort of said, hey, we're going to war, that's when you start to, I think we're going to start to see like them gaining alliances and familiar places we've been to before. Emma Arryn, right? Mm-hmm. We're going to the Vale again. Right. Jason Lannister, right? Like, Rickard Stark. And then, you know, the part I'm most excited for, and I hope we get it in the whole deal. And like, however you end it, season five or whatever is Hour of the Wolf, man.
Yeah. You're going to,
when he comes down, he's like, listen here, this is how it's going to be. Yeah. I'm like, people are going to lose their minds when they see like how Stark come in and say, hey, this is how it is. Deal with it. Like,
yeah. You made me come all the way down here to your your Southlands. I don't want to do this.
Right.
I'm going to crack skulls and go home.
Yeah. Yeah.
For a second, Matt, I thought you were going to say Oscar Tully or whatever his freaking name.
Kermit, Oscar, and
no, that ain't making.
Elmo Tully. They're not making the cut. They do. I think.
Is this the multiverse crossover we've been waiting for?
I think they do own
Sesame Big Bird Street. Baratheon. Yeah, let's go.
Yeah,
it's unbelievable.
Awesome. All right. Anything else, guys? We can click through the trailer a little bit, I think, and maybe just talk, pinpoint some stuff here.
Such a good scene. Yeah. Let's just click through before we finish. There's a couple. I mean, there's just the, what did you guys so think? Many. So Matt and I talked about the grittiness and the coloring and stuff. Did you like that, Nikki? Yeah. Did you think that was,
loved it.
Yeah.
Absolutely loved it. Yeah. 100%. Because I think the really interesting thing about Game of Thrones is when that first started, we were led to believe it was going to be something slightly different.
Mm-hmm.
And I always go back to that, if you're not a book reader, the ending of season one, episode one. It's mind blowing. Yeah. If you're not expecting that, and then that's when you're kind of like, oh God.
Right.
Yeah. Okay.
I remember watching it and going, wait, aren't they brother and sister? That's not the thing. Like, I remember like being so gullible, you know, like, what?
Well, that's kind of it, isn't it? You kind of just think, oh, there's a little secret romantic affair going off. Like, oh, who's this? Oh, it's the twins. Okay. So it very much was, I think we all thought it was going to be some kind of like just normal medieval political show.
Mm-hmm.
And it totally wasn't. So yeah, to kind of like have that super, super grittiness in this, for people who don't know what is coming in this plot, yeah, 100%. I think it needs to be painted to look similar to, you know, to Game of Thrones. But, you know, I've seen a lot of the sort of comparisons made is that Fire and Blood makes A Song of Ice and Fire look like a tea party. I don't think people know people won't know what to expect. I think people are going to be quite shocked by what happens in this plot.
Right.
But, I absolutely. Yeah. I really do like the grittiness of it. It is kind of, it's same, but different to Game of Thrones, if that makes sense at all.
Mm-hmm. I think you're right. I think there's going to be some shocking moments. I think it's actually a little bit darker than Game of Thrones.
Yeah.
And there's just so much drama.
I do too. Ez and I were talking about it, and somebody actually gave us a very good comment on it. Because Ez and I were talking about the grittiness and like just the different camera work and everything. It has this sort of, I don't want to say like pirate-ness to it, but it's like we're getting a lot of these darker tones. Like the cinematography is slightly different. But sometimes just watching things, go watch Justice League and then watch Zack Snyder's Justice League, and it's the same, you know, a lot of the same scenes, but done with a different color palette. And it sets a totally different tone. But somebody left a comment and they said it reminded them of Harry Potter and the Half-Blood Prince, where if you watch that movie, it does have this darker, just like the coloring of the scenes and everything is done in this darker, more bluish tone. And that's what I'm getting here too. It's hard to say, like, Game of Thrones is dark. Like sometimes you have to turn like the brightness up to be able to see it. But there's a lot of like bright shots in King's Landing and all this kind of stuff. This just feels like everything's taking place at night.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. A lot of smokiness.
Like smoke.
Ash.
Yeah. Smoke and ash too. Yeah. And then here's a character too we haven't talked about, but it's like there's a lot of pictures of her. It's like Daemon's sort of paramour. Like, you
does
know,
she have some? She got powers. Is she dabbling in the dark arts? Is she wearing any sort of glamour? What's going on? You know, Melisandre vibe. I mean,
Can you look up her name real quick, guys?
Yeah, Massaria. Is that what it is?
Massaria. Yeah, I don't remember her at all.
If there was ever a Targaryen in our world, it'd be Matt Smith.
Yes.
Yeah. The dude just looks like a Targaryen. You know what I mean? Like,
I cannot stress enough how like stoked I am that Matt Smith is in this, because I've just go watch some Doctor Who, because to me like that is like the truest example of how like amazing he is, because Doctor Who it's a drama, you know, it's a dramedy. There's, you know, there's comedy, there's fun parts, but like some of the stuff is like so like in a way corny. Like some, you know, so like because they still use like the same designs that they've used since like the 1960s for some of like the, you know, aliens and robots and stuff like that. And for him to like cut through that, not that Doctor Who is bad or anything, because David Tennant and a lot of the people who've played the Doctor have done an amazing job at doing that. But it's almost like he's so good that he like goes above that like level, which is like that. It's so, he's so amazing. He is about to seriously win an insane amount of awards.
Yeah. Oh yeah. 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 And just real quick. So at this point you have this shot up here and we'll talk about it here. So this is like, again, Lady Misery. And she's from Lys, right? So she's Prince Daemon Targaryen's paramour, unless I'm wrong, right? That's what her name is. I think she's been cast in that role. And yeah, so she is actually one of his favorite dancers there and becomes pregnant with his child. And he gave his paramour a dragon egg for the child, which angered King Viserys, and he orders Daemon to return the egg, and send her back. So that's all that kind of stuff when King Viserys is still alive that I was mentioning, that these things can happen, that they can go. Isn't he carrying an egg right there with her too?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Carrying that, yeah.
Yep. So, yeah, there's so many little things, because I think at first he's going to be this, you know, Daemon's going to be this, he gets under people's skin. He gets under his brother's skin. He even the sea snake for a hot second, Otto Hightower quite a bit. And then like, there's a lot of back and forth. And in the end, I mean, he's doing stuff with Rhaenyra that's not necessarily good early on. And you know what I mean? So
say the least.
Not necessarily.
Yeah. And then right. Like, if she comes out as our person we're getting behind, and then like he's her, it does like, if we know he's more of if we view Rhaenyra as more innocent and more just like next in line should be the one to sit the throne, and then we see this guy who's doing all this weird stuff with Lady Misery and violating different, you know, just not being the best of character, then, and he ends up being with her. I think we're all going to be like, God, is it him or is it her? It's going to be all drama packed, and you know.
Yeah, and Rhaena plays a role in this as well. I mean, we see Rhaena talking to Rhaenyra. Yeah. God, yep. So many characters.
I think House Valyrian looks freaking sick.
Oh, he looks dope.
Like, he looks amazing.
Like, yeah, I don't know how it is over there in the UK, but here in America, there's a lot of idiot people that have a big problem with them being cast as black, and I think they look freaking sweet.
He looks awesome. He's an accomplished actor. I mean, it's going to be awesome.
He looks incredible, and it makes sense to me. And hasn't George R. R. Martin himself said that he wishes that he hadn't made the Valyrians so pale like the Targaryens? These guys are seafarers. They are out and about doing stuff. It makes so much more sense that they would look totally different to the Targaryens and that they would have darker skin, in my mind anyway.
Yeah.
I think he looks incredible. I think all the Valyrians look amazing, and it makes perfect sense to me.
That would be go ahead.
Oh, so I think we're about to say the same thing. What do you want to have an entire cast of characters that are like, you know, pale blonde hair? That's like, it's going to get confusing and
Who's who?
I'll say it'd be like having an entire like desert, you know, culture of people, and they all have red hair and pale skin.
Hey, buddy.
Hey, buddy. Hey. That's a wheel of time.
Rip Robert Jordan. Rip Robert Jordan.
Jeez.
Terrible.
Right. Yeah. Bormund Baratheon, man.
Dude, I'm ready. I got his great great grandson over here. Look at this.
Right.
Yeah, you do.
Big dog be in the back. Yeah, and I love the way they did the Iron Throne there. So sweet. And we get some maester back here. And we've seen it a couple shots. 21.8 million views on Twitter, by the way.
That's just Twitter.
Yeah.
While we're watching this, I'm going to go see how many it has on you.
The costuming and everything too, I will say, and this is something I've talked about where, again, like, I think people forget, like, they had to create all this stuff for the first time when they did Game of Thrones, like season one. Like, now you have, like, you've got the green screen, you know, it's all set up. Like, you've done the costuming, you've had 8 years of experience of bringing all these people, because the costuming here, I mean, if you look at the costuming here compared to the costuming in Game of Thrones season one, it's like not even close.
Oh, not at all.
Not even like, remember, go watch the pilot of Game of Thrones and look at Tyrion's like surfer beach bleach blonde, you know, hair. Like, it's so weird.
10 million views on YouTube.
Yeah. Insane. Yeah. I mean, the shots here too. I mean, right in the city, Matt Smith just looks, again, so awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, there she is.
Yeah.
Let's go. The queen who never was. And she's somebody who I think, you know, people are sleeping on, but I think she's going to be, you know, very, very, very good. Very, very good in this. And then like this shot right here, that's just such a Game of Thrones, you know.
Yeah.
Shot right here with the painted table all lit up and everything.
Let's go.
Yeah, we're going to be doing a lot of Dragonstone.
That's my favorite shot right there.
Harrenhal.
Oh my God. I love it there.
It's crazy. It's all gathered.
Sign me up.
Let's go. So we know. So that's one place we do know we're going to, which is Harrenhal.
Which is cool.
The green dress,
right? And the younger actress playing her too, which is super cool. After we click through this, I'll pull up the original trailer just for reference, so we look at them both at the same thing.
Boom. I think there's also a chance that Hightower, she could be possibly sold to the viewer as innocent and just like, right. Oh, look, the king has this young, beautiful bride, like typical king, right? Mm-hmm. And then it turns out, you know, by the end of the season that Hightower is a big player in the game. So yeah. I could see that happening as well.
We could also get a story, because it's not like entirely true, of Rhaenyra and Daemon, that initially, because it almost feels like they do, just because, again, the actual text we have is this sort of broad thing that they love each other. But you could sort of paint Daemon a little more mischievous, as like he's viewing it more as like a political piece than he is actually.
Yeah,
sort of in love with her.
Yeah, I think Rhaenyra and Daemon could very much be like a Daemon corrupting Rhaenyra arc. That could definitely happen. And just the feelings I get from Hightower until they have that moment where they stare at each other later on, she seems non-threatening. Like even when she's walking into the hall.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, even something like this too. By the way, this shot like is just such a Game of Thrones. Like you could. Why do you have to show it like? Here you see like the woman's face on the casket going in and then falling in, and then the stone is still left bare. Like that's just such a Game of Thrones like framing shot.
Oh my god, who's this guy? You know who are they throwing down there? Like who's
making a blood pack there?
Making an example of something, you know?
Yeah. Oh, go ahead, Nikki's got something.
What do you got?
But I feel like this is going to come later. Is it Cregan and Jacaerys?
She sends
Jacaerys and Lycaeris to go and rally support.
Oh,
but that I feel like that's going to be way later. I think that would be in the next season.
Whoa, is that Sir Criston Cole beating? Who's he? He's beating somebody.
He's beating Cheeks. I don't know who it was, but
who's he beating up? Keep going. One more click.
It's just like
boom.
Yeah.
Who's he hitting there? You know what I mean?
It's hard to see. And then this is Daemon and Rhaenyra.
Yeah, that's interesting. Nikki, depending on how far they go, right? I mean, like how far do you want to go in the
Or is it their marriage? Because they have the over the hands.
I mean, based on just what we're seeing here, it feels like there's a lot of combat. I have the feeling that this is going to cover a lot of ground. I think that there's going to be a lot of stuff happening very fast, or they're moving around the timeline.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I would rather it be moving around the timeline, if I'm being honest, because I'd like to have 2, 3, 4 seasons. But there is a chance that this is just... It hasn't been called a miniseries, though. That's another thing. It was never called a miniseries, which leaves the door open for a season two. However,
season one's supposed to be 10 episodes. So, I mean, I think at minimum we're getting three.
Do we know the duration of the episodes? That's another question.
Oh, I think it's got to be an hour.
What if it's most an hour HBO? And a half?
Most HBO shows are. Oh well, then
come on. Let's go. Get to watch a movie every week. I'd lose my mind.
That'd be awesome.
But Watchmen was another show that they ended up not doing a season two, thankfully, because season one was perfect in my opinion, and it was not also sold as a miniseries. So it always just makes you wonder, like, you know, are they planning for the second season?
So this was the original teaser that we got.
Yeah, and one of those clips in this, doesn't it look like a tourney is happening as well?
Yes.
Yeah. It does. Yeah.
Yeah. Which I haven't watched this one in a while. Which again, that's such a cool shot. This one's so much smaller.
Cheesy cow.
But it's still so cool.
Got chills. Let's go.
Okay, so we get that in the same one.
They're all swearing to her there.
Right. So here they are. So this maybe is either before or after they're plotting, like they're doing the blood.
For me, it almost feels like Viserys has died and that the stone dropped into the water, and now Daemon's just out there brooding.
Hmm. Yes, there's gonna be a lot of brooding. Now
right
this
here, that's
shot turning. Too,
that's tourney.
Right? Yeah. And we haven't. There was nothing that showed anything about this in
fucking Helm is
the
so
other
sick.
The other trailer. Mm-hmm. Oh, it's so sweet.
Sick.
the shield and everything. Yeah. So this shot, yeah, this tourney, we didn't see in anything. There's nothing about that right. in the other trailer.
Yeah.
This is early stuff too, because remember the cutting room floor right. probably didn't have the finishing. So like right here, she's running up with the cat's paw dagger.
Right.
Is that because someone has stabbed this area? You know, I mean, I don't know. Right. I don't know.
So see now, so here the tourney, is this going to be the green and black?
Oh my God. Well, that is in Fire and Blood too, right?
Right. Yeah. No. Yeah. So people were saying that's a different tourney. There's another tourney that's referenced. I have to go look it up. But
I mean, it's very likely that.
See now this whoa, fight whoa. Right here.
Is this Sir Kristen Cole? Is that no?
Are they just training though? Probably. Nah.
Oh, that's versus Laenor.
Yeah.
Valerion.
This is where
is that some of the drama where they're? I don't know with Rhaenyra.
Oh my God.
Yeah. Right, and then that's just kind of this trailer. There's not a ton to this one, but
I would venture to say that's all early footage, personally.
Yeah, this is probably like episodes
one through two, three. Yeah, and what we saw in the next trailer, I think, probably has a decent amount of later season stuff,
or later episode stuff.
Yeah.
So the second trailer is probably up through like maybe halfway. So that means we've still got quite a bit, because if you go back and look at the Game of Thrones trailers of like what they showed to like hype the season, a lot of those again were very, most shows do this where it's like very early, mm-hmm. early stuff.
Yeah.
I remember my favorite Game of Thrones trailer was season seven's trailer. Where I remember losing my I remember did a reaction to it, and we both lost our minds, and it's the trailer it's showcasing the episode where they're going to go get the white what's his name, oh God, the guy with the eye patch, how am I blanking, your favorite
Beric.
Your Beric Dondarrion, where yeah. he lights his sword on fire,
yeah
and we're like what, like like losing our minds, and it was just so sweet. But that was like episode like three, because they, hey, we're gonna go, mm-hmm. through, yeah. you know, three or four. So that was kind of earlier into the season. So
yeah.
Okay. Well, anything else? Any last kind of thoughts on the trailer here for House of the Dragon? Let's go around the horn.
All right, buddy. This is gonna be. First of all, I just pulled up a tab here where I need to go do. I need to reread all of, I got so many different things I want to kind of, because we got some time, and what we love to right. do is to go through and think about, okay, how could you do it? What are you going to do? Just to play around, just to kind of build some hype as we get, you know, a couple months out. So I'm going to be doing that. And because honestly, I am so hyped now, and having seen some of these images, you can go in and sort of say, okay, what do we think they're going to do? So that's what I'm going to be doing for the next couple months is trying to, get a better, you know, understanding of some of these characters, some minor characters that are mentioned, think about houses that are going to be coming in here, just daydream on my way to work about being there in the court. I mean, would I take a knee and would I pull out my sword and swear to Rhaenyra? I would. If my king asked that of me, and you know what I mean? Like, I would swear my loyalty to her. I would say yes. All right. I mean, we're going to back her claim to the throne. So that's what I'll be dreaming about on the way to work. But yeah, I'm hyped. I'm excited. And I really think it's going to be awesome. I actually just had a moment there where I was daydreaming about all of us like coming back for season one, episode one, and just talking about the first episode and what that's going to be like. It's going to be insane, people. It's going to be insane. So I can't wait to like actually do that in the future. So
awesome. Okay, Nick, how about you? What are your final thoughts here on the trailer and House of Dragon coming?
Same. I'm just really excited. It's, yeah, like we said earlier, it's not next month. We've got another three or so months to get hyped about it. But yeah, I'm going to keep an open mind. I'm going to try and separate the book from the show, as I failed to do with Game of Thrones. But I just think this is going to be so good. I really, really do.
Yeah. Okay, Jimmy?
Yeah, I think especially after us talking about the trailer and stuff, I mean, I'm very excited about this. I have no qualms or any concerns with like CGI or any of the production, which is amazing because a lot of that stuff is one of the reasons why I couldn't finish some of the other shows that I was really excited about. Like, it was just like blunders, right? So what it really comes down to is going to be the writing and the pacing of the show and how they execute the timeline. And I think I'm going to try to go into it with as open of a mind as I can from the source material and just experience some time in Westeros again. Like, I'm just so excited to be back. And I can't, you know, I'm in a lot of different fandoms. I read a ton of fantasy books, and we are very, very fortunate not to just have one adaptation that went almost 10 years, but now we're getting another adaptation. Like, these things don't happen very often. So I do think it's just really, really special that we're going to have another opportunity to make a bunch of content about a show in a world that we care a whole hell of a lot about. So
I do have one thing. Sorry, this has just come to me. I went to a convention at the end of March, and I met Nikolai Coster-Waldau, who's Jaime Lannister. And we sat in on a little seminar with him. And one of the things that he said was that perhaps one of the reasons that the ending of Game of Thrones hurt so much, aside from the writing, was the fact that you would go into work on a Monday morning and you would talk to people that you would never, ever speak to. And you would get so excited and talk about what had happened the night before and what was going to happen next week. And, oh, my God, look at all this amazing stuff. And suddenly we just didn't have that anymore. So I'm kind of excited to get that back, especially since, like, you know, so much has happened with the pandemic. Everybody's moved jobs, you know, all that kind of stuff. So to kind of go back into the office, or, you know, even just like your parents and your relatives who you don't really speak to that much, to have that opportunity to get excited about something on such a massive scale again.
Yeah.
I'm really excited to do that.
I mean, yeah. Game of Thrones pulled, you know, me, Matt, and Ez have become best friends.
Yeah, man.
I've met Matt in real life. We've hung out. We've had a couple pitchers of ale, and it is a special thing. It brings people together. And you know, it's going to be an amazing opportunity to have some fun, talk about the stuff, and connect with people.
Yeah. Absolutely. So my closing thoughts on it. Again, I am so stoked. I absolutely loved the trailer. I've said it before, and I think I said it again. I'm not saying this is going to win as many awards, but I think that a lot of people will actually prefer this to Game of Thrones because it is a more sort of straightforward storyline. There's also, I think, people who are maybe just a little more into fantasy will find this a little more appealing because it is going to be more sort of dragon, big scale, epic combat, and you're just going to get way cool action scenes. It's funny. Ez and I, when we talk about Star Wars, we can always go back to these like awesome moments, or you want to go watch like a clip of Marvel or something, and it's just to see like, you know, somebody blowing something up, or like the scene in Avengers where, you know, Avengers assemble and then it's like everyone's fighting and they're doing all this cool stuff, or Spider-Man where they're swinging around. There's actually not a lot of that in Game of Thrones, to be honest. Like, all of the epic moments in Game of Thrones are dialogue based, you know, Tyrion saying like, I demand a trial by combat. And I think that this show will actually branch a little more into like just cool scenes of like somebody, you know, somebody attacking somebody or doing something really, really cool, because it's going to be a lot more action oriented, and I think that it can definitely benefit from that. I think it's going up against the Lord of the Rings show, which, you know, is surprising a little bit, but apparently Warner Brothers apparently Warner Brothers took one look at the Lord of the Rings trailer and saw this, and they were like, yeah, release it, we'll be fine. Yeah. You know, like, that should tell you, you know, all you need to know. I think it's going to come out and everyone's going to be back on board. I think it's coming out at the perfect time too, because like school's starting back up at that time.
Oh yeah.
And it's kind of like, even though like, you know, people like us, you know, we work our 9-to-5s or whatever, so it doesn't really change, but I think there is still something about like, think it feels like a new beginning of the year, even though it's in the middle of the year, like right around the time school starts back up and everything. So I think that it's coming out at like the absolute sort of perfect time. So I'm very excited for it. So anyway, thank you guys, everybody, for joining back in here. So Nikki, where can people find you on the internet?
I am predominantly on TikTok, with the little handle down there at kale_EC. And it's just chaos. So if you want to come and ask some questions and get some chaotic answers, that's where I am. I'm on Instagram as well. I don't do too much on there. TikTok's the place to find me, really.
Yes. And Nikki has a very, and I would, and it's not just any TikTok. Nikki has a very, very, very great TikTok, by the way. I love any time, my favorite one was, I think, when you returned from COVID and you did this one. You're like, I've seen so many people on here saying, talking about how Stannis is the one true king, and you had your mug and it was full of Stark tears. So that was, very, very, very good. So
awesome. Did I have the Reigns of Castamere playing over that?
So good. Jimmy, where can people find you on the internet?
You can find me here right on YouTube. That is the Fantasy Nut Work, NUTTWORK. I do sci-fi and fantasy book reviews, also just kind of read a lot of other stuff too, but it's primarily fantasy. I started the channel to find the next A Song of Ice and Fire for myself because there was such a void after I finished all the books. I have not found anything to that level yet. It's still my favorite of all time, but I have found some amazing pieces of work from a lot of different authors, such as Robin Hobb and Tad Williams and many, many others. So I would love to have you come over there and check it out if you're looking for some new reads or you just want to see what's going on in the world of fantasy and sci-fi. I'm always trying to keep people up to date and have good conversations like we did today. So I appreciate you guys bringing me on, and I hope to see you all over there.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, Ezra and I have both joined Jimmy on his channel before for some live streams. Jimmy's going to be joining us, and we hope to have Nikki on too. I don't know how we have to figure out the timing schedule, because if Game of Thrones releases at like 7 o'clock our time, that might be, you know, like midnight. I don't know, 2 a.m. over there. So I don't know how the math all breaks down, but nonetheless. But yes, I know we're for certain having Jimmy on, but then we will definitely have Nikki on quite a bit more up to the show, hopefully, and when it's coming out as well. So stay tuned for all of that, guys. You can follow me anywhere on the internet at Super Gains Bros, as anywhere on the internet at Womprat_2M. As always, thank you so much for watching. Thank you so much for listening. And you know, as we still got to figure out the new outro for the show, because winter is no longer, Winds of Winter might be coming, but
right. You know, maybe,
you know, it's like winter is coming. That's kind of like a good, like, hey, get ready for the next one. Do we just say Fire and Blood, you know, or how do we,
I think it's Fire and Blood, but it's
dragons are coming.
Dragons are coming. There you go.
There we go.